Hello OMT3701 students. In this podcast, I address integer programming, which is covered in Chapter 6 of your study guide and Chapter 11 in the 10th edition and Chapter 10 in the 11th edition of your prescribed book. If you use the 11th edition of RenderStair and HANA and you have not yet downloaded the PDF file on the branch and bound method from additional resources, please do so now. Also, keep your study guide and prescribed book at hand. As stated in your prescribed book, integer programming, or IP, is an extension of linear programming that solves problems requiring integer solutions. See the three types of IP problems as defined in section 11.2 in the 10th edition or section 10.2, 11th edition of your textbook. They are pure, mixed, and 0-1 integer programming problems. Remember, in podcast 4 we revised LPs because we said that you need to be skilled in the formulation of LPs. Well, now is the time for you to use that skill. If you want to formulate IP problems, you start off exactly the same way as with an LP problem. You define your decision variables, you set the objective function, and you write down all the constraints, including the non-negativity constraint. But you have to add some things. For pure IP problems, the non-negativity constraint is expanded. The variables must still be positive, but they also have to be integer. So we add that to the non-negativity constraint. See how we write it at the bottom of page 80 in your study guide. X1 and X2 are greater than or equal to 0 and integer. For mixed integer programming problems, you have to specify which variables are integer in the non-negativity constraint. For an example, see page 500 of the 10th edition or page 421 of the 11th edition of RenderStair and HANA. X and Y are greater than or equal to 0 and X is integer. The third type of modeling with 0-1 variables allows us to handle a variety of logical conditions. We call these variables binary variables as they can only assume one of two possible values, 0 or 1. Assignment problems are often formulated using 0-1 variables. Pay attention to how these variables are defined, namely a value of 1 if the assignment is made, and a value of 0 otherwise. See at the bottom of page 92 in the study guide for an example. MICJ is equal to 1 if road MI is assigned to contractor CJ, or MICJ is equal to 0 otherwise. The non-negativity constraint also changes. All variables are equal to 0 or 1. See the middle of page 93 in the study guide for an example of such a constraint. Working with 0-1 variables allow us to formulate logical conditions. See how to write constraints handling dependent and limiting selections on page 503 of the 10th edition or page 424 of the 11th edition of RenderStair and HANA. If you struggle to understand these, substitute different possible combinations of the variables in the left-hand side of the constraint and see what value you get for the left-hand side of the constraint. Then compare it to the value of the right-hand side of the constraint, keeping the requirement for the constraint in mind. It will show you why that specific constraint is the one fulfilling the requirement. Work through all the formulation examples in your study guide and textbook to make sure that you have mastered the formulation of the three different types of IP problems. Do you now understand why we said it is essential for you to be skilled in LP formulation? If you cannot do LP formulation, you won't be able to do IP formulation. Once you have formulated your IP problem, then you have to solve it. For solving LP problems, we showed you how you could use graphs if you only had two variables, or the simplex method by hand if there are not too many variables and constraints, or a software package. For IP problems, we show you how to use the branch and bound method to solve the problems by hand or by using a software package. Let's start with the branch and bound method. The sixth step needed to solve integer maximization problems are given on page 493 of the 10th edition or in the PDF file if you use the 11th edition. Please note the footnote on what to do when you want to solve integer minimization problems. You have to follow these six steps diligently. Keep the six steps at hand and open your study guide on page 81, where you will find an example using the branch and bound method. Follow in the study guide as we go along. Step 1 is to solve the original problem as an LP problem. In the exam, the optimal LP solution will be given. The optimal objective function value of the LP problem is set as the initial upper bound. This means that you can never get a higher value for the objective function of any of the subproblems. If you do, you have made a mistake somewhere. In the example, the optimal LP solution is x1 is equal to 3.75 and x2 is equal to 4.125 with the objective function value z equal to 24.375. So the z value for any of the subproblems must be less than 24.375. Step 2 is to find an initial lower bound. Any feasible solution will do. The easiest is to round down the optimal values found for the variables in step 1. Here I want to interject, for minimization problems you have to round up, otherwise you will not have a feasible solution. Back to where we were. In the example, we round 3.75 down to 3 for x1 and 4.125 down to 4 for x2. Substituting these two values in the objective function gives us a z value of 23, which is our lower bound. Step 3 tells us to branch on one variable that does not have an integer value. In our example, both variables do not have an integer value. You can therefore choose any one of the two. In this example, we choose x1, but if you have chosen x2, your subproblems will look different, but you will get the same answer in the end. Try it. We are now going to divide P1, the original problem, into two subproblems P2 and P3, based on integer values immediately above and below 3.75. Remember, we are branching on x1. The integer value immediately below 3.75 is 3. So subproblem 2 is identical to P1, except we add a constraint x1 less than or equal to 3. The integer value immediately above 3.75 is 4. Subproblem P3 is identical to P1, except we add a constraint x1 greater than or equal to 4. Always keep in mind that for each new branch, we add one additional constraint to the previous problem. P2 and P3 is the first branch, so they each have one more constraint than P1, the original problem. Step 4, you have to solve P2 and P3 by hand. For P2, we have added a constraint x1 greater than or equal to 3. To solve P2, we now set x1 equal to 3. Substitute this value in the two constraints and solve them simultaneously for x2. The result is that x2 must be less or equal to 5.5 and x2 must be less or equal to 4.2. The most binding inequality is x2 less than or equal to 4.2. A remark here. If you still struggle to determine the most binding inequality, listen again to podcast 6 where I show you how to determine the most binding inequality graphically. Back to x2 less than or equal to 4.2. Because the solution must be at a corner point, we can set x2 equal to 4.2. Remember, x1 is equal to 3. Now we substitute these values in z, the objective function, to get 24. do you see that this z value is less than 24.375. Now on to subproblem P3. Set x1 equal to 4, substitute this value in the two constraints and solve them simultaneously for x2. We get x2 must be less or equal to 3.667 and x2 must be less or equal to 4.1, with x2 less or equal to 3.667 the most binding inequality. Substitute x1 equal to 4 and x2 equal to 3.667 in z to get 22.33, which is less than 24.375. Applying step 5 to P2 and P3, we see that the solutions are feasible but not integer, so we go to step 6. We also terminate the P3 branch as its z value of 22.33 is lower than the lower bound of 23. For step 6, we find the maximum of the z values for P2 and P3, which is 24. This value is now the new upper bound with the lower bound still at 23. Therefore, we have to go back to step 3. Are you still following? We are now at the bottom of page 82 in the study guide. With subproblem 2 back at step 3, we branch on x2 as x1 is an integer. Add one additional constraint to each new subproblem P4 and P5. P4 is identical to P2 except for the additional constraint of x2 less or equal to 4. P5 is identical to P2 except for the additional constraint of x2 greater or equal to 5. Note that P4 and P5 have each two more constraints than the original problem because this is the second branch. Move to step 4 and solve the new subproblems. When solving P4, you now have to substitute x2 is equal to 4 in three constraints, solving for x1. One of the constraints is x1 less or equal to 3, which does not contain the variable x2, but already has a value for x1. This same constraint is also the third constraint in P5. When solving P4, x1 must be less or equal to 3.82 and less or equal to 5 and less or equal to 3. The most binding is x1 less or equal to 3. Substitute x1 equal to 3 and x2 equal to 4 in z to get 23, which is equal to the lower bound. When solving P5, x1 must be less or equal to 3.27 and less or equal to minus 5 and less or equal to 3. The most binding is x1 less or equal to minus 5. Now you have to remember the non-negativity constraint. x1 must be greater or equal to 0. As x1 is not positive, P5 has no feasible solution. For step 6, the upper bound is set to the z value of subproblem P4, which is 23. The upper bound now equals the lower bound of 23, and we have the optimal solution with x1 equal to 3 and x2 equal to 4. We are done. The IP model is solved. I leave the use of software packages to solve IP problems to you. You cannot be assessed on this in the exam. One final remark. No sensitivity analysis can be done on IP problems. If you do come across sensitivity reports for IP models using a software package, ignore it. It is meaningless. This brings us to the end of the podcast on integer programming.